Operation Imperator, the fourth war for Armageddon reignites the grimdark. Dax here, let us skip the brochure language and find out what actually works. Operation Imperator is the Story Games Workshop wrapped around Warhammer 40,000's 11th edition. Pre-orders June 6, full release June 20, 2026. A fresh orc invasion of Armageddon, the Forgen Hive world that has already burned in two prior wars, answered by a Blood Angels-led coalition of Space Marine chapters. Come in. Sit where the embers can reach you and mind the ash, it drifts here no matter how still the air gets. Closer. I'm going to lower my voice for this one because the chosen don't need it shouted. Here is my verdict before the tale, the way I always give it. This is not a story about winning. It opens with a scream, a distress call clawing its way out of the warp from a world that has already drowned in its own blood three times over. The heroism is real, I'll grant it that on the record. But the cause is doomed in the same breath that names it noble, and anyone selling you the triumph is selling you a sales sheet, not the truth. So let me tell it straight, the grimdark with no flattery on it. Then and only then I'll tell you what's worth a place on your workbench. If this guide helps, using the Amazon links on the page is a simple way to support Puzzlewick at no additional cost to you. A distress call from a world that has already bled three times. Let me set the stage with the cold facts, because the cold facts are the horror here. Armageddon is not a fresh battlefield, it is a scarred one. This is the planet of the First War, a demonic incursion turned back by space wolves and gray knights, and then the Second War for Armageddon, roughly 941 to 943. M41, when an orc warlord named Gozkul Thraka descended with five tribes welded into a single screaming horde and very nearly took the world whole. It survived. Barely. And now Games Workshop's Operation Imperator narrative, the lore spine of 11th edition, picks up after the events of Armageddon. The return of Yarrick and frames what fans instantly recognize as a fourth war. That recognition is the whole emotional payload. You don't need a primer to feel the dread, the name does the work. Here is my critic's note, the flaw named early, the marketing wants you to feel hope. The lore, read honestly, gives you something colder, the sick familiarity of a place that knows exactly how this goes. A Hive and Forge world is a war machine factory and a population center, billions of souls feeding the Imperium's guns. When the call goes out, it is not a rallying cry. It is a planet that has done this before, holding the line one more time, knowing what the line costs. The orcs make planetfall, the Wazdeka Vanguard, the Green Tide does not arrive politely. Ahead of the main horde comes the Vanguard, and at its head, per the launch lore, roars Wazdeka Gutsmek, the bike-mad speed freak warboss. Hold that detail because it matters and it's easy to garble. Wazdeka spearheads the assault. He is the tip of the spear, not the spear itself. Why a cult of speed boss first? Because that is how orcs break a world. Speed freaks are the shock, war tracks and warbikes ripping across the rockcrete ash flats faster than a defensive line can reform, fouling artillery, scattering supply, turning ordered defense into 100 small panics before the real weight even lands. It is terror as logistics. By the time the defenders understand the shape of the attack, the shape has already changed. The role, Vanguard, first contact, first chaos. Methods, speed and Daka breaking cohesion before mass arrives. The tell, if you see Wazdeka the WAGH, behind him is not a threat, it is a promise. I want to be precise here in a way the breathless previews sometimes aren't. Wazdeka leads the Vanguard. The thing he is clearing the road for is the subject of the next tale, and it is far, far worse. Gozkul's WAGH, and a feud measured in centuries, now the fire dims, and I'll name the real monster. The main invasion, the WAGH, itself, is driven by Gozkul Mag Uruk Thraka, the prophet of the WAGH, and by most reckonings the single greatest orc warlord in the setting. Wazdeka clears the road. Gozkul is the road's destination. Keep that order straight, it is the spine of the whole story. What makes this personal, and personal is what makes Grimdark land, is the man waiting for him. During the Second War, Commissar Sebastian Yarrick held Hades Hive when its fall looked certain, foiling strategy after strategy until the Blood Angels outflanked and shattered the Green Horde. In Yarrick, Gozkul saw something almost no human earns from an orc, a worthy enemy, a whetstone. Their feud has run for centuries since, a galaxy-spanning vendetta that has bent the course of whole campaigns. So read what 11th edition actually does. It puts the two of them back on the same cratered world, the old whetstone and the prophet who sharpened himself on it. My honest read, and I'll say it plainly, is that this is the best kind of lore hook precisely because it isn't clean. Yarrick has beaten Gozkul before and never finished him. Every reunion is another chapter of a duel that, by the setting's own logic, neither side is truly built to win. Operation Imperator, a dozen chapters answer the plea. Yarrick's plea is the trigger. It launches Operation Imperator, a coalition crusade, and here the Imperium's light burns its brightest in the whole tale. The relief is led by the Blood Angels, and that is not a marketing accident. They are the historic saviors of Armageddon, the chapter that broke the back of the Second War. The Sons of Sanguinius returning to the world they once bled to save is a deliberate, earned echo. They do not come alone. Games Workshop's framing has the launch box represent the Blood Angels strike force, but the wider Operation Imperator answer pulls in strike forces from across the Adeptus Astartes. Blood Angels leading the crusade, the box's 23 model marine force. Ultramarines, Salamanders, Space Wolves named among the responding chapters. A dozen more, GW's lore cites a broad coalition of chapters and successors surging toward the war world. Here's where I temper the heroism, because temper it I must. A coalition the size answering one plea sounds like overwhelming force. It isn't. It is the Imperium scraping together everything within reach for a world too important to lose and too far gone to easily save. The size of the response is a measure of the desperation, not the odds. When you need a dozen chapters to maybe hold one planet, the planet is already losing. Dark versus light, why the rescue feels doomed before it begins, this is the heart of it. So I'll slow down. The tension Operation Imperator runs on is the cleanest dark versus light contrast 40K has staged in a while, and it works because both halves are fully true at once. The light is genuine, a holy plea. Answered, heroes who have saved this exact world before, returning to do it again. Yarik, the living legend, the man who would not let Hades Hive fall, standing once more between billions of souls and the green tide. There is nothing cynical in the courage, it is real and the setting wants you to feel its weight. The dark is structural, the plea exists only because the situation is already near hopeless. The world is a charnel forge being invaded for the third time. The nemesis is the greatest orc who ever lived, and he has never been truly killed. In the grimmest joke the setting tells, every orc that dies on Armageddon feeds the WAGH. Death itself is fuel for the thing you're fighting, you cannot kill your way out, the math is rigged. So here is my verdict on the tension stamp mid-tail, this is heroism with the outcome pre-stained. The Marines are not riding to a victory. They are riding to a line, a place to stand and make the cost so high the tide breaks this time, knowing there will be a next time. That told straight is more moving than any triumph. The delight, if I'm honest, is in how unflinching it is. 11th edition, the lore is the campaign you play, now the part where the story stops being a story and becomes your table. This is the genuinely useful turn, so lean in. 11th edition is a full rules reset, and the Armageddon launch box is the deliberate on-ramp, the single best two-player buy-in of the year. Inside, roughly 23 Blood Angels, Space Marines and 38 Orcs, about 61 push-fit miniatures, the new core rules, a mission deck, the lore guide, datasheet cards, transfers and the piece that matters most for our purposes, the Dominatus campaign deck. Each army lands around tilde 750 points, which is the sweet spot, enough to be a real army, small enough to learn the new edition without drowning. Mechanical headline of 11th. The game is built to make narrative and competitive the same experience. Terrain pieces become primary objectives instead of abstract markers. Force disposition objectives replace fully random missions. Cover debuffs, enemy hit rolls, concealment shields, infantry and terrain, stratagems tight to one per unit per phase, and leaders keep their abilities even after their unit is gone. Why does that matter for Armageddon specifically? Because an addition that makes holding terrain the win condition is an addition built to play out exactly the story above. A desperate force planting itself on objectives a green tide is trying to overrun. The rules and the lore are pointing at the same thing. That's rare, and it's the strongest argument the box makes. Managing a war. Running the Dominatus campaign, here's the table management meet, and it's where the box earns its keep beyond a one-night game. Dominatus campaign deck layers a randomized narrative campaign on top of the core game, and that randomization is the feature, not a gimmick. Three pillars to run it well. Agendas, each battle draws secondary objectives, orders from on high, opportunistic orc brutality, so two games on the same map never play the same. As a campaign runner, let these drive the story rather than narrating around them. The deck is the dungeon master, capturing locations. You fight over vital sites on Armageddon, and holding them carries forward between games. This is your map management layer, track who owns what because momentum compounds, units leveling up. Survivors gain upgrades and grow into named veterans of your war. This is the hook that makes players care, a Blood Angel squad that has held three battle lines is no longer a unit, it's a saga. My practical verdict forward advice for the person at the head of the table, commit to the persistence. The whole point is that Armageddon is a war, not a match, wins and losses both leave marks the next game inherits. Track location control and unit upgrades on a single sheet between sessions. And one honest caveat I'll stamp here, a randomized campaign deck can hand one side a brutal run of luck. Build in a swingback, let the losing side bank a comeback bonus. The Grimdark should feel doomed, not unfair, there's a difference and a good campaign manager protects it. Final verdict. Verdict, a doomed, beautiful last stand told straight. Operation Imperator is Grimdark at its most honest, and 11th edition's Armageddon box is the rare launch where the lore is the campaign you play. Buy the box with a partner or read the Gazkull novel cheap, both are worth the firelight. Just don't let anyone sell you the triumph, the dark is the point and the dark is what makes it sing. Frequently asked questions. What is Operation Imperator in Warhammer 40,000? Operation Imperator is the narrative campaign Games Workshop built around the 11th edition launch. It depicts a coalition crusade led by the Blood Angels and joined by Ultramarines, Salamanders, Space Wolves and a dozen more chapters, answering Commissar Yarik's plea to defend the Forgend Hive world Armageddon against a fresh orc invasion. It's effectively the fourth war for Armageddon. Who leads the orc invasion, Wazdaka or Gazkull? Both, in sequence. Wazdecka Gutsmek, the bike-mad speed freak warboss, spearheads the vanguard and makes Planetfall first to break the defender's cohesion. Gozkul Mag Uruk Thraka, the prophet of the WAAGH, and 40K's greatest orc warlord, drives the main invasion behind him. Wazdecka clears the road, Gozkul is what's coming down it. When does Warhammer 40,000 11th edition release and what does the box cost? Pre-orders opened June 6, 2026 with worldwide release on June 20, 2026. What is the Dominatus campaign deck? It's the campaign system included in the Armageddon box. It layers a randomized narrative campaign over the core game. You draw agendas, battle-specific secondary objectives, fight to capture and hold vital locations across Armageddon, and your surviving units level up and gain upgrades between games, so the war persists session to session rather than resetting each match. Why does the heroism of Operation Imperator feel doomed? Because the plea exists only out of total desperation. Armageddon has already burned in two prior wars, it's being invaded a third time by an orc warlord who has never been truly killed, and every orc that dies there feeds the WAAGH, so you literally cannot kill your way out. The courage is real, but the setting rigs the math, it's a stand at a line, not a march to victory. Do I need to know the old Armageddon lore to enjoy 11th edition? Number the fourth war framing rewards longtime fans, but the launch box's lore guide gives you everything you need. The emotional hook, a desperate last stand on a world that has bled before, with Yarik and Gozkul's centuries-old feud at its center, lands cold, even if it's your first 40K story.